Welcome back to another edition of American FC. Cover your week-to-week Premier League games, your results, and where we stand going for the future of each team into the next weekend. Start things off, we have Dean Bruce getting fired from Newcastle United as of this morning. So, let's talk about this for a little bit. So, let's look at it this way. He came to Newcastle in 2019, and Newcastle sit technically in 19th place without a win this season after 8 games. So, we always knew that Steve Bruce was probably most likely going to get fired sometime between either this coming weekend or possibly even after next weekend, depending on the games they had. But with the 3-2 loss they had at home against Tottenham after new owners took over, it was pretty much set in stone that he was most likely going to lose his job before the new weekend. So it doesn't really come much as a surprise to me. Newcastle came out and said that it was a mutual agreement that, you know, they see that, you know, they're happy with Steve, we're happy with Steve Bruce, but, you know, it was mutual for both the sides of the club as they try to reshape Newcastle's for the new owners. But I think that it really wasn't a mutual thing because, you know, Bruce came out and said that he was going to fight for his position at the club. He was going to fight to be in charge of Newcastle, even with the new ownership, even with all the new money that came in. So to be a mutual agreement, I don't really foresee that happening. I feel kind of like more along the lines he was fired in Newcastle just to kind of soften the blow a little bit. So he leaves Newcastle in second to last place without a win. It was also his 1,000th game in charge as a manager. Now, he's losing at home after they started off very brightly against Tottenham. And after you've been in your 1,000th game in charge, you're at home, and you are literally being booed by the crowd for your sacking. So, I feel like that played a huge part in what happened, because if you've got fans that are booing for you to be sacked, odds likely are you're probably going to get sacked. And so, with that being said, is it fair to him that he gets sacked? Sure, he hasn't really like made anything happen at Newcastle yet. We all know that. But would the money take over? And him being able to bring in players in January, could that have made a difference and could have saved his job? You know, I think it's kind of 50-50. In my opinion, I don't really see that he probably would have made a difference. Maybe he could have made a difference. I'm not really sure. But with him being gone now, and now the new owner's taken with the new and with the new owner's taken over, with the money they're about to bring in, what's next for Newcastle? So, Newcastle have options on the table to who they're going to bring in as a manager. And personally, I believe that Conte will be the manager of Newcastle. I don't think it's going to happen right now. I don't think it's going to happen immediate. I think what will happen is Newcastle is most likely going to wait and kind of put an interim manager in for right now. And then come January, I think Conte will come into play and, you know, he'll be able to buy some players and start to rebuild Newcastle a little bit. That's my own opinion. I think that he's the best option for the job. I think that he can get them out of relegation. I think that he's going to get them to the next level. I really do think that he could be the coach to go to Newcastle and really make a difference. So if he comes to Newcastle in January, per se, we start to look at what Newcastle is going to do money-wise. So does Newcastle go out and spend a bunch of money in January? Most likely not. I think they're going to kind of look at it as buy a player here, buy a player there, you know, or they might buy one or two players in January when the transfer window reopens. But Newcastle's not going to spend their money until the summer. So going into January, what's some things that Newcastle could do? Obviously, they need a goalkeeper. And I think that if they bring someone in at center defensive mid, or someone that hold up their midfield, you know, they can really make a difference in that aspect and kind of push to get out of relegation and actually push for like maybe a mid-table finish. So we look at Kessié. Kessié is center defensive mid at AC Milan, 24 years old. He's out of contract in January. Doesn't want to sign a new contract. He has the strength. He has the height. He has the speed. He's an all-around outrageously good, pretty much just center defensive mid. And I think that Newcastle will go after that. And I think that that will be one of the first players they bring in January. As for a goalkeeper, I don't really know who they're going to bring in per se. I think that, you know, Ajax's goalkeeper might be the one that comes after his doping ring is over. I think that when he is able to come back after his 1 year ban is up come January, I think, you know, maybe he looks to leave Ajax and maybe he comes to Newcastle, which, you know, a lot of people probably don't really know who he is, but, you know, he was on Chelsea's radar for a very long time. He was on a lot of people's radar for a while, but with his doping ring, you know, he was kind of put out and banned out. But with him coming back, maybe Newcastle looking to bring him in. So that's two solid, very good players that Newcastle could bring in going into the second half of the season to, you know, help them fight for survival and actually keep them up in the Prem before the summer happens. So that's just kind of my take on what's happened so far as of Wednesday morning, you know, with Newcastle. But this past weekend, we also the game I forgot to cover on this past weekend was on Monday. We did have Arsenal versus Palace. And, you know, I look at Palace came to Arsenal. Arsenal got the early goal. Arsenal looked set to pretty much run away with it. But give it to Palace, man. Palace fought from a 1-0 down game to come up and win 2-0. And a lot of people are going to say all the fouls and this and the pushing and the shoving. And yet, I've seen the game, rewatched highlights, and I get there was a lot of fouling that, you know, could have been called, a lot of 50-50 chances that could have been called. But give it to Colin Gallagher. This guy is straight up probably going to be the young player of the season, if not already. This guy has done so much work for Palace since he's come there, or since they've introduced him this season. He's definitely my PFA so far. This guy was constantly pushing people off the ball, constantly winning balls in midfield. And I just think that he is going to be the midfielder to really push Palace to a new level. And, you know, for the stuff, if you look at the highlights and some of the stuff that he did in Palace, like the ball-winning mentality that he had to get in, to win the 50-50 chance, to really shake Arsenal's defense and their midfield and get back the winning balls. I mean, it was just astonishing to me. Like, this young guy doing this at Palace really shows what Vieira is doing at Palace. I mean, we all know Vieira was an Arsenal legend. He was a center defensive mid. He's very defensive-minded. And to win, and he was always winning balls. So for to see a young player doing that in the same kind of fashion, I mean, you really look at it, it's like you can see that Vieira's process is beginning to work. What Vieira wants to do at Palace, I think, is working. So they've had three 2-0 or 2-2 draws in the last three games. They drew against Arsenal as well over Monday. You know, Arsenal got the late equalizer through Lacazette, and you know, it hurts to see Palace do that, because As hard as they really thought Palace would run away, would get the game and go ahead and finish out the game. So to draw the game up on a 1 or 2 minute last minute gasp for Arsenal, you know, credit to them for getting the goal, but Palace has to learn to close these games out. And like I said, you know, this is their third 2-2 draw in their last three games. You know, what's next for Palace? You know, you can draw games all day long and, you know, stay up, but they've got to start winning games. And I think that they show a lot of drive. I think that they're showing a lot of promise. But when is Vieira going to realize that what he's doing is not working in the sense of closing out a game? He's got to get that game closed out so they can start picking up wins. I think he's got the midfield dictating pretty decently. I mean, we got Benteke scoring goals again, which, you know, Benteke looks really strong. We ain't really seen him strong like this since he was at Villa a couple years ago. You got Zaha on the left, who could play right. You got Ayew playing. I mean, Palace really seemed to be a free-flowing type team against Arsenal with Gallagher in midfield. So let's build on that. I think Vieira needs to really build on it, really show what Palace can do. They've got the pace. They've got the strength. They've got the passing. They've got the goal scorers. They just got to put it all together, and they really have to close out these games to get these wins. So I'm going to kind of jumping over now to the Champions League that happened yesterday. So we had some Prem teams that did play yesterday. We had Liverpool at Atletico, and we had Man City traveling to Club Brugge. So let's start with Liverpool versus Atletico Madrid. So Atletico Madrid has always been kind of like the thorn for Liverpool. You know, we watched them knocked Liverpool out. A couple last year, they knocked him out of the Champions League. We've watched, you know, Liverpool just really struggle against Atletico. And, you know, and Liverpool's got a hard group. They've got AC Milan in that group. They've got Porto in that group. They've got Madrid in that group, like I said. And, you know, the game against AC Milan coming to Liverpool, you know, it was like back when Liverpool won the Champions League for the first time. When they won the Champions League, you know, they came back to win against AC Milan. So that's already a thorn in their side, you know, having to face AC Milan again. Now they got Atletico Madrid. They were having to face away, you know, and the last time they went away was when they got knocked out. So they went to Atletico Madrid. They won 3-2. And, you know, Salah with the first goal, 8 minutes in. He now becomes Liverpool's only player to score in 9 consecutive games. So, huge accomplishment. Once again, we talk about, is he worth the $500,000 that he's asking? Is he worth the money? Is he worth Liverpool putting out? And I mean, the answer is yes. I mean, this guy is probably to me, has to be the best player in the world right now in form. You cannot see a fantasy team. You cannot see any team that would not like to have Salah or a player like him in form right now at this time. So, he scores within 8 minutes. Then, you know, they get another goal the 18th minute, and then Griezmann shows up. So, Griezmann being Atletico, you know, Atletico's golden boy was for years where he made the switch to Barca, but now he's back, and, you know, he's had a slow start to the season. Gets 2 goals quickly. It's 2-2 leveled at Atletico, you know, stadium, hard stadium to go to and play. But then he goes and he gets sent off with a straight red for a nasty high foot against Firmino. So, It's bad for Atletico Madrid because now at this point, now the game has turned. And with the game being turned, you know, Liverpool gets the third goal. Salah gets a goal or gets another goal. And so Liverpool leaves the game 3-2 and gets the win. So if Griezmann wouldn't have got red carded, could the game have been different? Could there have been something that Atletico could have done to win the game in their favor? If Griezmann would have stayed on, I think that the game probably could have went in a different direction. And I think that if, you know, Liverpool probably would have pushed for the third goal. I think Atletico would have pushed for the third goal. But I think the game would have been a little more fair. I think Atletico probably would end up getting the third goal before Liverpool, which would have really, you know, set up their win. But Liverpool was, we cannot take anything away from Liverpool. Liverpool was all over Atletico Madrid. They were there to win. They were there to do what they wanted to do. They were there to show that they were here to play. And, I mean, they did it. And, you know, the red card sucks for Atletico. But Liverpool came to win that game. And Liverpool came to get the revenge on Atletico Madrid from last season. They came to get the revenge against Diego Simeone. And they did it at Atletico. So, you have to give credit to Liverpool for it. Liverpool is showing that they are still one of these top teams. I think that they still hold a very good title race in the Prem against City and against Chelsea. You know, they're the only unbeaten team left in the Prem. So, the form that Liverpool is in right now, I don't see them slowing down. I don't see them struggling. I think they're going to easily get out of group. I mean, I don't see any other way. I mean, they're top of their group right now. They've beat AC Milan. They've beat Porto. They beat Atletico. They got Atletico coming to Anfield here in the next couple weeks. They're going to be without Griezmann. So, I mean, they've got everything pretty much in the bag. I mean, this is set up for Liverpool. So, they'll get out of group. They'll continue to keep doing well in the Prem. I think I don't see them really slowing down in that aspect either. I mean, I said it a couple of days ago when we did our first episode, you know, Salah is the best player in the world right now. And if he can continue to keep this form and can continue to do what he is doing, he can single-handedly hand Liverpool another title this year. But is he going to slow down? Is something going to happen? Always that option. But Salah is probably in the form of his life right now that he's had since coming to Liverpool. Mane's playing well. Firmino's playing well. I mean, Liverpool is playing as the unit we saw back in 2019, 2020 when they won the league. So this is Liverpool that was terrifying. This is the Liverpool that you saw the left and right backs hitting players, the left and right backs crossing to each other, the front three of Bobby Firmino and Sadio Mane and Mo Salah. Like, this is the Liverpool that was 2019-2020. The only difference is that Salah's in a little bit higher state than he was that year. So I don't see him slowing down. I don't see him putting up any kind of fight to have someone better than him at this time. He's the player to have on any team. So that's all I really got for Liverpool Atletico. But just keep in mind, you know, Liverpool's going top group. They're fighting for Prem. I mean, Liverpool's going to be in a lot of discussions going forward because where do they go from here? What do they continue to do? What's next for Liverpool? How can they go one step closer to probably even winning the league again or winning Champions League again? So just some thought on that. But now we got City traveling to Club Brugge. So Club Brugge welcomes City, you know, and me being a City fan, you know, I was really excited. You know, I felt like it was going to be an easy game. I mean, the game ended 5-1 in City's favor. But, you know, it doesn't really tell the story. I mean, yeah, you know, City, on paper, you expect them to win that game. You expect City to go there. You expect them to dominate. You expect them to win. No big deal. But let's look at what actually went on in that game. So, not only did City dominate the game and really take it to Club Brugge, but we had the likes of Mahrez getting 2 goals. You had Cancelo getting a goal. You had Kyle Walker getting a goal. So all three of them players getting goals, two of them being left and right backs, which really showed the press that City was making. But the goal I want to talk about is Cole Palmer. So Cole Palmer is a 19-year-old kid who becomes the third youngest player in Champions League history to score in European level. So Cole Palmer has done pretty well at City since he's kind of like come up through the ranks and now has made his senior debut. So last weekend when he played against Burnley, he came onto the field and for the closing minutes, or, you know, closing 15, 20 minutes. And, you know, passed the ball around, had some good things. Went home that night, went and played for the under-23, scored a hat trick, and then on Tuesday played in City's lineup for Champions League against Club Brugge. So to come onto the field, to get a goal at European level, his first one, it just lights up what this guy really is. I mean, this guy is... looks like he's like the Phil Foden that we have now. Like, he is going to be a future star. And, you know, Pep brought up that no matter what's going on, when the ball lands at this guy's feet, we're almost positive that he's going to score. And that's what I see happening. I mean, they are going to score constantly with this guy. So, is he the striker that we had with Aguero? Of course not. Is he a striker that can be filled in? Yeah. I mean, he's like Foden, like we've talked about. I mean, Foden was that player that came in and changed the way we played. He was a number 9 that changed how we were. He's a number 10. He's a number 7. He's whatever you want Foden to be. That's what Foden does. And that's the same thing we get from Cole Palmer. Is this guy is literally the exact same thing. This guy's playing in midfield. He's playing as a striker. He's playing as a winger. He's playing as a defensive mid. I mean, this guy is literally everywhere on the field. And he's scoring goals. So we have to look and say, you know, is this a player that can fill in for City until we go after a striker? Is this a player that can fit in for City full-time? Is this somebody who is going to be at City full-time? Is this somebody who's going to get picked up? I mean, Phil Foden just signed a brand-new 6-year contract. I mean, Foden's not going anywhere. So, with the likes of Foden and Palmer, like, this is City's future. These are the players that are going to be at City going forward. These are the players that City's going to look for to really take it to the next level. And, you know, They might not. Foden's having the time of his life right now at City. I don't see him going anywhere. I hope Palmer ends up doing the same exact thing. I mean, this guy is just, for me, it's just perfect. And I want to see more of him. And I hope that Pep continues to bring up the academy. I hope he continues to bring up from the reserves and the under-23s. You know, I like to see more players doing what Foden and Palmer have done. And I love the fact that they're getting starts this season. And then we also look at, like, Bernardo Silva. Bernardo Silva had a rough season last season, and, you know, he struggled underneath Pep, and I don't know what's going on this season. I feel like he's back in form. He's back to the Bernardo Silva we first had, and he's doing fantastic. De Bruyne is doing well. I mean, City's performance against Club Brugge was everything that showed how City usually plays and how they are. And I think this has got them back on track coming off that loss against PSG in the Champions League. And they also had the 6-3 or the 6-4 draw or win against Leipzig. So, you know, City struggled against Leipzig a little bit, got the win. They lost against PSG, had this win. I mean, I think they're back on track. They got PSG again next. You know, hopefully they get the win when PSG comes to the Etihad. Not 100% sure how that's going to play out just yet. So, you know, but overall, I think this puts City back on track to really get their Champions League groove back on track with them. You know, we look at, you know, just what Pep's done. And I just think that it's fantastic. I think that, you know, they show every weekend and week out they don't need a striker sometimes. But then sometimes they do. I mean, they got to get that balance together. They got to figure out if they want the striker, if they don't want the striker, you know, who's going to play the false nine. And, you know, going into January transfer window, do they pick up a striker? There's talks of Raheem Sterling leaving. And, you know, for me, I really would hate to see Raheem Sterling leave. I mean, he's a player that I enjoy. I thoroughly enjoy watching. He's someone that I love the fact that he came from Liverpool. I love the fact that we play at Liverpool, you know, that he gets that criticism. Or when Liverpool comes to us, he gets the criticism. Like, it's just a fun thing for me to see him do. Because, like, no matter what, he seems to tear it up. And so I would hate to see Sterling leave, but at the same time, for him to better his career, does he go abroad? Does he go to Germany? Does he go to Spain? Does he go to, you know, Italy? Does he go to France? And he's won everything he can win at City except for Champions League. So there is a lot of talk of the speculation around him leaving, you know, and part of me is like, you know, go, do better, become better. No longer do you have to worry about being an England national player and not getting the call up because you don't play in the Prem. I mean, we've seen that with Jude Bellingham and Sancho playing in Germany last season. We've seen them getting call ups. So Sterling can still get the call up wherever he goes. So I think in career wise, it's good for him to move on. I think he needs to go on and see what's out there and really better himself as a player. But Pep has turned him into what he is now, and leaving Pep, is he gonna do better without being under Pep? Will he do better on his own? Will he do better with Pep, without Pep? I mean, we have to look at that scenario. And right now, I think that he's kind of dropped in form a little bit. But I'd hate to see him leave, but I hope all the best for him. So that's pretty much what I got on City and Club Brugge game and what's going on in the Champions League. We do have games today, though. We got the games today. We have Chelsea versus Malmo. We've got United versus Atalanta, which, you know, Chelsea should win this game pretty easily. I don't see Chelsea having really much of a problem. But when it comes to United and Atalanta, this is going to be the test for Ollie. You lost against Leicester away. You've got Atalanta at home. And then you have Liverpool at home on Sunday. So this is a big test for Ollie. Do you get the win? If you get the win, do you keep your job? If you don't, do you lose your job? I don't see him losing his job anytime before Christmas, as much as some people want him to. It hasn't happened in 3 years. They haven't won a trophy, but I just don't see United saying it's time to fire him or anything like that. This guy's going to have to really go on a losing streak or something to really affect him losing his job at United. 3 years down the road, no trophies, same system, same concept. The owners, the board, they've done nothing. I mean, what's really going to change? I don't see anything changing anytime soon. Could be wrong, but for me personally, I think the same old United will be the same old United come January. Ollie will still be in charge. If for some reason he does lose his job, you know, we'll look at who we think might come in. But as of right now, I seriously think that he's pretty much safe. As long as United's getting Champions League football, they're going to continue to do what they want to do. But United players need to step up. Where you got Ronaldo, you got Sancho, you got Pogba. They have to do more off the ball in order to actually become a winning team at United. You've got people like Bernardo Silva, Kevin De Bruyne. I mean, they're off the ball constantly. You got Mo Salah, Sadio Mane. When they're off the ball, they're constantly making runs. They're constantly looking for the next option. They are doing what they need to do as a team effort to do what is best for the team. you don't have that at United. And we talked about that United has all these stars and all these great players, and, you know, take nothing away from that, but they have to be a team. So they got Atalanta today at home. I think that United will probably get a win. I'm going to say probably a 2-1 win. They might get through and actually pull through to do it. At the same time, though, I mean, Atalanta has had good and bad going for them. So they could come out and they could really take it to United Old Trafford. But I think United will most likely pull through and get the 2-1 win, maybe even 3-1, you know, and kind of get it back on track and set them up for with some kind of encouragement against Liverpool for Saturday. But we'll discuss them games tomorrow. I thank you guys so much for tuning in to American FC. We do have a Facebook page now. If you want to do find me on Facebook on the like page, it's at American FC Podcast. Have me on there. I'm going to post the audio there today. Also find me on Spotify. This has been American FC. Thank you for listening.